Ephesians chapter number 2. And I'm going to read some verses that most of us have heard. Most of us could probably quote them, but it's worth reading. And you might say, well, preacher, I already know the gospel. Well, then it's a good refresher for you. I sat there and thought about, you know, I've always thought this. You might think I'm crazy, but Brother Scott, I think we should about almost just come out of our skin in that third verse that says, what a hallelujah morning. I mean, I always thought, man, I just want to blow up on hallelujah morning. Why is that? Because I know on that hallelujah morning, all of our troubles and sorrows will be over. Amen? So if you got Ephesians chapter number 2, say amen. If you ain't got it, say hold up, preacher. Thank you for standing. If you're able to stand, as we reverence the reading of God's word, you can reverence it sitting down, but I like it when folks is able to stand, they'll stand. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, you ought to underline that right there and highlight it and say, thank God, God interjected into our lives and interjected into that scripture. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass and sins, and hath quickened us. Let me say it again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you. Father, one more time today, we find, Lord, Father, ourselves in the familiar position, the familiar spot, the familiar place, Lord, Father, where we find so loving and thankful and so unworthy to be in. Lord, we find ourselves in your pulpit trying to proclaim your word. Lord, we need your spirit. We need your power. Lord God, we need that fresh oil from up on high, as the psalmist wrote, whereby man cannot even preach without. Lord, man has never learned how to preach, and Lord, neither have I. Lord, I know we have I know sometimes we get into a cadence. I know sometimes we get into a routine. But God, I'm asking you just to preach me, Lord Father. Say everything that I ought to say, and say not the things that would not bring glory unto your name, Lord, and not be truth. Father, I pray today, Lord Father, for every heart to be open to hear and to receive exactly what you want to say to their heart. Father, I am reminded, Lord Father, you will always speak to the heart of the individual. Lord, I'm not trying to be the person. I'm not trying to say I know people's lives. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I need this message just as much as anybody else. But Lord, Father, I pray today, Lord Father, you'd have mercy upon us and forgive us of our sins. And that, Father, if there be any here that's lost and undone, Lord, they'd find themselves and see themselves lost and undone. Lord, they would come to an altar, Lord Father, maybe right there and fall and cry out for mercy. And Lord, I'm so glad that you are rich in mercy. It's in your Son's sweet, precious, righteous name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading with us and praying with us. As we said, we want to preach just on the gospel. That's all we want to preach today is the gospel. It's amazing what people deem to be the gospel now today. It's amazing what people would try to proclaim to be the gospel today. People's trying to come up with new ways of saying things, new ways of putting things in order, new ways of saying stuff. And I know it's 2018, Brother Joe, and some people might say, preacher, that stuff might be better served back in the 1950s or the 1800s. But can I say this? God's word has not changed. It's still the same as it is. The Bible said it's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. You say, preacher, you messed up. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. And can I say that's who the word is? It's Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in God, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And can I say this? I'm glad to know this today, that this Word still is yet what we need. We don't need to change it. We don't need to put newfangled spins on it. We don't need to make newfangled adjectives and put things on it. I understand some people might say, preacher, it's hard for me to sit and listen to preaching such as what we do at Mount Zion Baptist Church. But can I say this? I'm reminded what a preacher said, Brother Josh. He said, it's not how I'm preaching that's bothering you. It's what I'm preaching. is bothering you. And can I say this today? The gospel has three aspects of the gospel. There's three things about the gospel of the Lord. Three things that you should hide in your heart. First, sin is a part of the gospel. The wrath of God is a part of the gospel. But the grace of God is a part of the gospel. No doubt in today's day and time, people would love it if you just skip the first two parts and stick with the last part. We're reminded, as it's been said around here, as Paul told Timothy in the second letter in the first, fourth chapter, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Can I say, that's what we want to do today. We want to reprove, we want to rebuke, but we also want to exhort with all longsuffering. That means if it means 45 minutes to an hour, you're on an altar begging and trying to pray through. Yes, I believe in praying through. I believe you stay down there until you get an answer. God did not call you just to leave you hanging, Brother Josh. He will give you an answer. Sometimes he's got to let you sit there for a while and let you get in the right place in your heart, get in the right position and condition. And can I say, that's what exactly needs to happen today. If you're saying, what must I do to be saved? You need to allow God to work upon your heart and believe on everything that he's done and are going to do, and then he'll save your soul. May I say, the gospel is in these three. The gospel, you'll find the three aspects in this scripture. Can I say this? You'll find in the first three verses, we find the things that are about sin. May I remind everybody that Jesus Christ did not come to make that you may have a better life. He did come and say that I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. But the only way you'll have that abundant life and a more abundant life is if you deal with the sin problem. I've heard people say, preacher, we got a drug problem. I say, no, we got a sin problem. I've heard people say, preacher, we got an alcohol problem. We ain't got an alcohol problem. We got a sin problem. And I know some people might say, preacher, we got a home problem. We ain't got a home problem. We got a sin problem. But I know the cure for every circumstance and every situation when it comes to sin, Brother James, and his name is Jesus Christ. He'll always be the. He's not just a treatment. He's not just something that can help you in your life. He's the cure for all sin. Hey, I know they say, preacher, they'll never be cured from cancer. They'll never be cured from heart disease. And can I say something? You'll never get cured from sin. But I do know there's a remedy for it, and the cure is Jesus Christ. You can try to come to church and think the church will be the treatment and get everything took care of. You might think, I'll go to a singing, hear some good gospel singing like we heard today, and that'll be the treatment that I need to change my life around. Friends, you don't need to hear good singing. You need to hear, get who they're singing about, and he'll take care of your sin problem. I'm often amazed at today's day and time. Used to, I heard the old-timers say that you can hardly find sinners nowhere. But I believe you can find a sinner everywhere. You'll find them in the church pew. There's people nowadays, they ain't ashamed. They ain't afraid to say that they're a sinner. You got people says they're a sinner all day long. And the thing they like to say is, hey, I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. Don't you think you're better than I am? And can I say this? They're almost 100% right. I'm glad to know this set in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15. This is a word worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm glad today that he saves sinners. And can I say, that's the only people he'll save. He'll save sinners. In the Gospel of Luke, 5th chapter, in the 32nd verse, he says, I came not to call righteous the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Oh, yes, I'm glad. It's the sinner that he's looking for. It's the sinner that needs to repent. I'm reminded in Luke chapter number 13. They said, Jesus, suppose these people of whom the Tower of Siloam fell upon, suppose these are greater sinners than anybody else. And Jesus said, unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hey, can I say, some people might say, what about them homosexuals? You think they're worse sinners than anybody else? I say, unless ye repent, you shall likewise perish. Hey, what about them pedophiles, preacher? I just heard about the Catholic Church, about how all the pedophilia that's went on, all the horrific things that's happened. And somebody say, preacher, don't you think them people's worse sinners than anybody else? I say, you shall perish unless you likewise repent. And can I say this? A lot of folks will say, preacher, I can't stand them pedophiles. I can't stand them homosexuals. But friend, unless you repent and get saved, you'll spend all eternity with the homosexual and the pedophile. Is that right? We're living in the day and times when people will say, preacher, I like the gospel, but I like that easy way. But can I say this? Before you can know what the gospel is, you got to know what the gospel said and who you are. Amen. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I didn't know it back in 1998 and 1999 when God was dealing with me. I thought I was the worst sinner ever walked upon the face of the earth. I didn't know who the apostle Paul was, Saul was. I didn't know the story about Paul. I didn't know all the words to Amazing Grace, and I barely could say John 3:16. I was told that God was real and Jesus was real. But when I found out my sin is the reason why he died upon the cross, I didn't feel like dirt. I felt like I was worse than dirt, worse than slime, and worse than scum. I didn't know the apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, because when I was under conviction, I thought I was the chiefest of sinners. And can I say this, Brother James, it may be hard for some folks to realize, and I know it's kind of rough to look back. When I was lost, I didn't have that thinking in my mind. So you young people think, preacher, it was hard for me to think that way. It was hard for me to think that way too at the age of 27. But looking back then, Brother Scott, I thought I was the worst thing that ever walked. I couldn't put it in the fancy words. I couldn't put it in the Bible English. I couldn't speak the King James in the church house, so folks would pat me on the back. Brother Joe, I was just a simple lost sinner dying and going to hell, and I needed somebody to save me. The Bible says he came to save sinners. He says, I call not the righteous. We got plenty of righteous people. Ain't that right? Got church houses plumb full of self-righteous. May I remind everybody, the Bible says, Isaiah said, our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, don't you all get mad at him. I'm going to give you the Bible. The Bible says, we're as a menstruous cloth. We are as an unclean thing. That's what we are. Our righteousness is nasty. It's worse. It's putrefied. It's a smell that makes God sick. You say, preacher, I'm making God sick. It's the sin that lives and dwells in your life is what God hates. But he wants to save you from it. The gospel is that you are a sinner. Now get this. As I said, you'll find a sinner all day long, but it's hard to find a lost one now. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, this is what Jesus said. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. To seek and save that which is lost. And I didn't know that I needed to get found, Brother Ronnie, until I figured out I was lost. When I got lost, that's when God come looking for me. And you said, preacher, I don't understand this. I remember as a little kid, we'd be in Kentucky, and we'd always go up into the woods. And I knew them woods like the back of my hand. I knew Flat Rock, I knew Pumroy, and you couldn't take me to a place I did not know. But when the sun started going down and there was much light in the woods, everything looked the same. I didn't know which wind was up. Brother Eddie knows what I'm talking about, doing all that coon hunting. You get in the dark, you get in the woods, you can't find nothing. Now, I'm using a physical application to give you a spiritual meaning. Y'all with the preacher? I remember as a young kid, I was in them woods, and it got dark, and I couldn't see my way out, didn't know which end was up, and I started hearing them hounds, them dogs started barking like crazy. Down in there, it wasn't coyotes back when we was little kids, but you'd get them wild, we called them wild dogs, it's just feral dogs. Dog's been dumped off out in the middle of nowhere, and then them dogs would do what a dog would do. It'll return back to its vomit. It'll return back what state it was. Then dogs come a barking. Then dogs come a howling. Sister Vicky, I went to crying. I went to running. I didn't know which way I was going. Didn't know which way I was turning. And I ran and I ran. I began to cry. And I remember busting through that tree line. And I bust out the top of the hill. I could look down over to the left. And Brother James, I saw Granny and Paul's house sitting down there. And I said, if I can get down there before them dogs get a hold of me, everything's going to be all right. And I got to that house and I looked. And here come all them dogs. They was a chasing a rabbit. I thought they was a chasing me. But can I say something? When I was 27 years old, I thought I knew everything about life. I thought I knew there was no way you could get me sideways and get me sidetracked. But the sun began to go down in my life, Brother Don, and it got real dark. And everything I thought that I knew that was common, everything that I thought knew was my life, Brother Joe, it got real dark, and I know which end was up. And I heard something coming after me, and it was hell lapping up around my feet. It was sin taking out my life. I didn't know what it was back then. All I know that fear grabbed a hold of my soul, and fear grabbed a hold of my heart. I thought I was dying and going to go to hell, but I'm glad when the light busted in and showed me there was safety in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. Though I was a sinner, though I was lost, I was the right candidate who Jesus was looking for. Jesus come to seek and save that which is lost. Can I say this? If it means hurting your feelings, then I'll do it. If you've never found yourself as a sinner lost, if you can't look back and say, preacher, I was a lost sinner, you're in serious trouble. You're in serious trouble. And I got a little small example, and we'll get to it here in a second. But not only does the gospel, it has to deal with sin. That first verse, it says, and you hath he quickened. That means he made us alive. He's preaching to save folk. But he's reminding them that if they were once dead, and can I say this, you'll never be alive in God unless you first realize you was once dead. And this might hurt some of your feelings, but I'm telling you, I can't hold back. The Lord's laid this on my heart. You don't grow up saved as in you was birthed in your first birth being saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, that means he was a religious man, a smart man, and he knew his scriptures. And he come to Jesus by night. Some people want to say why he come by night. I don't care when he come. I'm just glad that he came. He tried to get all religious and try to say, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He didn't know that he was God come down to teach. Somebody say amen right there. But when he come to Jesus by night, Brother Joe, he began to say, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Jesus didn't want to hear anything he had to say. He didn't want to hear how smart he was. He didn't want to hear how his Bible application was, how much time he spent in Sunday school and vacation Bible school. Though those things are good, youth retreats and everything, they're wonderful. But friend, when it comes to your eternal existence in the gospel, Jesus is not impressed with your accolades. Jesus is not impressed with your accomplishments. What he wants to tell you is that you must be born again. He said, if you're born of the flesh, and basically I'm going to paraphrase, you're going to die and go straight to hell. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And what you need is a spiritual rebirth. That's not saying going back in your mother's womb a second time, as Nicodemus thought so. He said, no. He said, that which is of the flesh is flesh. That means your birth from your physical mother, that's a birth everybody has. He said, but what you need to have is what the birth not too many people's are getting. That's a being born again through and by the Spirit. And can I say this? You need to be born again. Because you're dead in trespasses and sin. Sin is the problem. And that's why you're dead. If you're not saved, you're dead. There's two types of people in this church house. That's the quick, the living. That's what quickened means, made alive. And then there's the dead. So either you're a living or you're a dying. And can I say this? He said, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, sin is the full knowledge, willful breaking of God's law. Right? Now, pray for me because I got to hit a stump that was here before I got here. So I need you to pray for me. But sin is the willful breaking of God's law. Now, for all them easy, take it easy, it's not that big a deal. Well, preacher, I'm glad there is no more law. I'm going to give you a news flash. The law still is here.
Amen. That's
absolutely correct. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I don't care if folks say amen, but the law is still here. Do you know why the law was instituted in the first place? It wasn't to make man righteous, for if righteousness was of the law, there'd been no need for Jesus Christ. But the law was instituted to let you know what sin was and what was not sin. That your fellowship and communion with God would stay strong and stay true. But if you broke the law, you could offer up a sacrifice and keep that communion with God. But can I say, as time went on, the sacrifices that were once without spot, without blemish, began to be crippled and blind and sick and halt, and the sins no longer could be cleansed through and by the blood, which the writer of Hebrews said, under the law, almost all things were purged by the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I'm still in the cover of the book. And can I say this morning? I know some people may not realize this, but you're a lawbreaker. You broke the law. Heard a preacher say this one time. I think it was Billy Mitchell. He said there was these two people come to him. I think it was two women and a man. They come to him, and they was carrying a Bible, and they was carrying the Book of the Mormon. They was Mormons. And they come to him. They didn't know exactly who he was. So they just come to try to proselytize him. They was talking to him. He said, well, can I ask you a question? They said, yeah. They said, what's it mean to be saved? How can I get saved? They said, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, okay. And they said, you got to be saved for the remission of your sins. He said, okay. And they said, you got to keep the law. He says, hold up for a second. My Bible tells me there's all kinds of laws in the Bible. And they said, well, all you got to do is just keep the Ten Commandments. He said, my Bible tells me if you broke one part of the law, you broke the whole entire law. Can I say this? You might think, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. I ain't been no law breaking. Can I say this? Oftentimes people don't realize this, and they get mad at the preacher when he preaches things, Brother Jeff Curry. But I'm not snooping on Facebook. I'm not snooping to find out people's lives. You could go back in the book of Leviticus. You can go back to the book of Numbers. You can go back to the book of Exodus, Brother James, and it tells you what the law is. It'll tell you the things about sin. And can I say this? Some people say, well, preacher, that's all Old Testament. Hey, if you want to take the Old Testament of the Bible, which the Apostle Paul said is our examples under this life that we live now, you can chuck her away and like to see how you're going to fare in your everyday life when you got to appear before the Lord and that judgment seat of Christ. But can I say this right now, Brother Joe? I'm reminded of that law. The Bible says the Apostle Paul said this, that the law was given for the lawbreaker, for the prejudged person, for the lawless, for the murderer, for the man-stealer, for the whoremonger, for the drunkard. He lists all those things. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. You'll find all those things what the law was given for. But can I say this, friend? The law is the schoolmaster, is what Paul told the church of Galatia. It's to show you that you're lost in your sin, that you're dead in your sin. But there's salvation in Christ Jesus who fulfilled that law. You couldn't keep the law and I couldn't keep it neither. Don't y'all look at me like you're super spiritual. You can't keep it now, neither can I. Thank God for grace, Sister Kim. Thank God for grace. Can I say something to you young people? You might think, well, I'm a young person. I'll just ask God. It's easy. What's the old saying, Brother James? It's old now because I've heard it so much. It makes me fight mad. I want to fight people over it. Y'all pray for me. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. You know what that is? That's some jackleg done told you some stupid saying from the depth of a tormented and dark heart of a person who needs to get right with God. And can I say this? Some people might say, well, it's easier to ask for forgiveness. Friend, will you get forgiveness? That sin is the full, willful transgression of God's law. Some people might say, well, preacher, that's just hard preaching. That's the gospel. That's what you got saved from if you're saved. You said, preacher, I didn't know I was doing some of those things. That's what a trespass is. Yeah. Trespass is when you didn't know it was law. Aren't you glad when Jesus came, he just didn't die for the purposely breaking the law. He died for you when you accidentally broke the law. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, cop, I didn't know that speed limit was 55 and I'm doing 80. I don't know where that come from. Y'all pray for me. But can I say that's what sin is? It's the breaking of God's law. Some people don't like to hear it. I got some people who claim to be Baptists. They say, you're preaching wrong when you say that law is still around. I say, what do you think them people is going to be paying for? Sin. What is the knowledge of sin? The law. What is the strength of the law? It's death. Sin. Would Paul say, thank God, oh death, where's thy victory? Oh grave, where's thy victory? I can't get it right, but sting and grave and death. There's no more sting. We've got victory through it. Through how? Through and by Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you've never been lost, you've never been a sinner, you're in trouble. Some people say, preacher, how long does it take to get that way? As long as it takes for God to get through to your heart. I've told some people, and some people think I'm crazy, but Brother Joe, I said, if you want to get saved and you like to get saved, I'd stand up on Sunday, let God know you want to get saved. They said, why would you do that for? Well, if you're showing a little step towards God, God will take a step towards you. Somebody said, well, you'll confuse them. Hey, man can't confuse what God does. When God's in it now, y'all hear the preacher now. Say this, I ain't gone jackleg, Brother Joe. Too many times people think that man's got more power than what God does. They think man can overrule God and outdo God. Can I say this? God can do whatever he wants when he wants. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-present. He is the sovereign. That's right, James. He's sovereign. Ain't nobody above him. Ain't nobody beside him. He's God. But that's sin and trespass. Notice it says that we were dead in trespasses in sin. Now, I'm preaching towards you in that first verse. But look at verse number 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit network of the children of disobedience. Verse number 2. He says you're worldly. You was worldly, doing worldly things. The reason why we got so many churches falling by the wayside is because they're getting the world inside the church. Amen. Reminder to everybody, if you're the friendship of the world, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of the Lord. James chapter number 4. Bible says in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15, 16, 17, I do believe it is, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So not only you should not love the world, but the things that are in it. What things? I mean, you can go through a laundry list of things. People just love them things. I've seen so many people saying that they're getting away from the things of the world. They didn't realize they was robbing them of the joys of the Lord. When you yoke up with the world and you yoke up with the things that the world gives, I'm telling you, it'll pull you the other way. I was talking to Caleb. We was talking about an individual. And can I say this? I don't know if you say, people, listen to me. You can get mad, but I love you. I'm just giving you the gospel. Can I say this? It's hard for you to go out into the world and act like the world and participate in worldly things and think you're going to drag him into the church house. Y'all hearing the preacher? But the world would love to get a hold of you and drag you out of church and make you fall, make you stumble, make you a laughing stock, an example, and a hiss. And the Bible says they'll pass by and hiss and shake their head. Why? Because you got caught up in the things of the world. You entangled yourself with the affairs of this life. And the Apostle Paul says that's not the soldier that God wants. He wants a soldier that will not get entangled with the affairs of this life. The seed that got choked out and by the thorns was the cares of this world, choking out the gospel seed. And friend, I'm telling you, the world would love to do it. And the prince, the power of the air of this world. You all can think that the devil's some kind of Halloween costume or some kind of horror flick. Friend, he's wearing a three-piece suit, carrying around a Bible, standing in pulpits, and giving you a little bit of a truth that gets you to believe a whole lot of a lie. And can I say this? More and more people has been deceived. And why are they deceived? That very same scripture I come across. I thought about it last night, Brother James, where it says that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the glorious light of the gospel spring in and they get saved. What is that? Darkness. Now, you might be here, and if you're saved and you're dabbling in the things of the world, I'm going to say it. Shame on you. Shame on you. And I don't care if your last name's Faulkner. Shame on you. Why is that? Because you're going to get choked out by the things of this world. You'll be an example for all the world to use and say, well, if that one's going to heaven, so am I. But can I say this? If you've come short and fallen, that same grace that forgives you and saves your soul is the same grace that'll forgive you and bring you back into the fold. Woo! That Bible says he left the 99 and go find the one. We always say it's the one that was lost and undone. But can I say this? Sometime the Lord leaves the flock and go finds that one sheep that is saved but then got caught up in the things of the world. He'll go back and get them, Brother Joe. And the Bible says that we're that chastisement of the Lord, we are all partakers. But if there is no chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. To be a bastard of the Lord, it means you're not his kid. That's not a cuss word. The world's turned it into a cuss word. It's an old English word that says you have not a father. You have not God to be in your life. And friends, you need him. That same gospel will come rescue you. You say, preacher, you're spending an awful long time on that sin and trespasses. Verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation time passed. That means from the pulpit to the back pew into the sound room. We all had our conversation that way. We all talked. We all walked. Talking, the conversation means your actual life. We all had our life that way. Ronnie, I was a heathen. I was no good. Somebody might say, well, preacher, I got saved when I was young. Guess what? You's a heathen. You's no good. All of us. We all was that way. Anybody who ever was a sinner and lost was fulfilling the desires of their flesh and the desires of their mind. That's exactly right. You said, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I can't break this sin. You know why? Because you're fulfilling the desire of your flesh and of your mind. I had a person tell me, they said, I asked you to pray for Brother Charlie Wells. They said they don't know if he's ever owned a TV. I said, I know another preacher who said the same thing. And he's up in his 80s. He said the reason why he doesn't have the problems that some people have because he doesn't allow that stuff to get into his home. And can I say this? I'm not just talking about a TV. I'm talking about anything that's worldly and sinful. Sister Vicky, if we don't allow it into our home, he won't have no problem. He won't have no problem with it. But he says we all walk. We all fulfill the desires of our flesh and of our mind. But can I say this? I love verse number 4. Sin and trespasses is over. But God. Aren't you glad God shows up? You said, preacher, I didn't know if you had us in the oven baking a long time. I didn't know if we was ever going to get relief from this heat. Oh, there's relief from the heat. Can I say this? Some of you may complain how hot and humid it is. Aren't you glad you're getting your heat while you're in this life and not in the next life? Amen. But God, who's rich in mercy, that means he's got plenteous of mercies. The psalmist said, the Bible says a lot in the Old Testament, for his mercies from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible says he's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our transgressions. But as far as the east is from the west, has he separated ourselves from our sins? For his mercy endureth forever. And Psalm 136, he goes there at the end of every 27 verses. He says, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. You say, preacher, I've sinned, I've come short. Preacher, I'm worthless, I'm no good. I want to tell you this, Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter number 3, it's by the Lord's mercy and his compassion that fails not, that renewed every morning, that we're not always. Am I hearing this preacher this morning? Bless his name for the mercy of God stepping in. Amen. The law demands justice. You broke the law, you're a sinner, you're lost. The law demands justice, but mercy answered the call for you. Mercy answered the call for me. That's the gospel. Jesus died upon the cross. He died for all of your sin. All of it. From the beginning to the end. Brother Ronnie, some people say, well, if we sin, you got to get saved again. Now, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. But the only way you can get saved again is if Christ gets crucified again. And Paul said in Romans, he said he was the sacrifice for sin once and for all. Amen. That's it. It was acceptable. I told Brother Eddie, hit me with a scripture from Malachi this week. Christian hit me with a scripture from Malachi this week. I said, what is it with you all, Malachi? I was in Malachi last week too. I hit Christian back with a scripture. The Bible says that the Lord was speaking to the children of Israel. He says, you've made the Lord's table contemptible. You made everything rotten. You made everything nasty. They said, how do we do that? He says, because you offer up polluted sacrifices. You offer up the blind, the halt, and the lame, and the sickly, thinking God will accept. He says, I tell you what, won't you offer it up to your governor and see if he'll accept it? When you say, I'm in trouble because I have nothing to offer the Lord, that means you're in a good position. Because he provided a sacrifice for you. The Bible says they would see if there was anybody worthy thereof to open up the seals of the book. Now, some people said they had to search heaven. I don't think they searched heaven. I think they knew there was only one who was worthy to open up the book. The Bible says the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What for? To pay for your sin and your trespasses. Why would I need my sins and trespasses paid? The Bible says, the Apostle Paul writes it twice. I do believe it might be there more than once. You have been bought and paid for with a price. May I say this? You have been bound, handcuffed, tied, shackled. You've been hogtied from ankle to wrist and a noose around your neck to take you out in the deep waters of sin to kill you and to drown you. I even say this. I've heard some people say, I know some folks has been told to pick out a casket, and the devil may already had your grave marked saying, this one's done, this one's over. But aren't you glad God stepped in? Ain't you glad but God, the injunction that God steps in? When justice called, mercy answered. I love that song, when mercy walked in. I'm glad mercy walked into my life. Can I say this? Justice means that we deserve everything that we have coming to us. But mercy says you ain't got to pay for it. You say, well, preacher, then who paid for it? Jesus did upon the cross. He paid for everybody's sin upon the cross. Friend, he paid for your sin. He paid for every rotten thing that you and I did. He paid for it. Why would he pay for it? Because something had to give, a price had to be paid. There's one thing God cannot do, he cannot lie. And there's one thing amongst others that's at the top of God's list he hates, and he hates sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I do believe it's the last verse, he became sin. He that knew no sin, he become sin. I know we like saying he bore our sins, and that's a good statement, but he just more than carried them. And that Old Testament sister, Michelle, I thought about this all the time. I didn't know this. I just thought it was a word, scapegoat. But in the Old Testament, it's an Old Testament sacrifice that took place. They had two goats. One was to be sacrificed for sin, and one had to bore the sin. Christ did them both for the job. What they would do, they'd put their hands upon the head of that goat, imparting all the sins upon that goat, calling him the scapegoat. Jesus didn't care my sin, Brother Tony. He became my sin. That's when my heart got broke. Can I say this? When you think about your sin, you think how vile and filthy you are. And to think that someone else became that and died upon the cross, that's mercy. That's mercy. And that's grace. If it wasn't for that mercy, wherein he loved us, it says in that, for his great mercy, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Thank God for that. Romans 5, 6 and 7, 8, 9 and 10, I think is what it is. I want to read that real quick. But the Bible says this. I love these scriptures, and this is what it says. It says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Y'all like that? He died for the ungodly. That's me and you, Sister Melissa. Ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But I love this part. But God. Injected again, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here's the last part of the gospel. Now your sin and your trespasses, Christ paid for, because he loves you. But the reason being he had to die such a horrible death is because the wrath of God has to be appeased. The wrath of God has to be appeased. We all love that scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Thank God that he sent his Son into the world that we might be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Thank God I'm not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you're not saved, you're condemned. You don't need to wait to judgment time. You don't need to wait and say at the end of time, I'll find out what gets hashed out. This preacher's telling you right now, you're already condemned. Because you don't believe on the name of the only begotten of the Father. Says, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten of the Son of God, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But I want you to hear this. Not only are you condemned, but the Bible says in verse number 36 of John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Praise God. On the hallelujah morning when the last... Yeah, I got it all wrong. I don't care. I just feel like singing hallelujah right now. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Yeah, true.
What does the Old Testament writer say? He said, hell beneath has moved to greet thee, to meet thee. People say, preacher, I think God's a loving God. I don't think he'd be that way. Well, you can think how God is. I'm telling you how God truly is. He's a God of love. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy and grace. He's also a God of wrath. And if you're not saved, if you don't believe in him, the wrath of God is already abiding on you. It's already there. Here's some scripture. Verse number 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Well, let me read verse number 3. Y'all all right? I'm going to give you these verses. Give an example. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. I want to say thank God. I'm in Mount Zion Baptist Church. Love you people. And I love how y'all love each other. We need to grow in love. And grow in unity. But I'm glad to be here. Verse 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Verse 5 says, which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Isn't that something? Y'all still with the preacher? Say amen. If you fall asleep on me, I'm going to preach longer. That ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. If y'all didn't hear the first part, you better hear this. Seeing it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know why I don't go off on people that badmouth me and lie upon me and treat other people bad and say bad things about this church? Because, hey, my wrath is what they ain't got to fear. The Lord will reward them with tribulation that trouble me and this church. Go with the preacher? That's Bible. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe in that day. Now there's a parenthesis that says, because our testimony among you has believed. I want to say this. Some folks may think I'm crazy, but you've heard me preach this before. Christ fulfilled everything on that cross. He paid for your sin. Paid for your sin because it became your sin. And he appeased the wrath of God. How did he appease the wrath of God? The Bible says all of them that believe not, all of them will die and go to hell. Paraphrasing it. Hell's real. H-E-double hockey sticks. It's real. It's hot. It's still sizzling. It's still popping. It's dark. It's outer darkness. It's weeping. It's wailing. It's gnashing of teeth. And all the ungodly, all the sinners, all the lost, they go there. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa, and I don't care if you're, Ward Cleaver. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the cleanest and most upstanding people there are in society. But friend, if you're not born again, hell is where you're going to go. But Christ even paid for it upon the cross. He suffered hell on the cross. He didn't go to hell after he went to the grave. It was on the cross. That third hour, Brother Joe, total darkness. Out, he was out of fellowship, communion, and out of the presence of God the Father. Some people say, what's hell? Well, you get away from God. I mean, I'm talking right now in this world, people think, well, I'm away from God. No, you get to still see his creation. You still get to see the sunrise. You still get to see the green grass. You still get to see the church house. You still get to hear preaching. But when you totally get away from God is when you're void of everything that he's given except for his wrath, Brother Joe. And that's what he suffered on the cross. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered it all. What's that song? He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. God has no other choice but to put you in hell. God would not put me in hell. The Bible says you die in your sin. Where he is, you cannot come. The wrath of God is real. And so many times people say, well, I just thought the gospel was that God loved me and saved my soul. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news is he just didn't save your soul. He paid for your sin. And the wrath of God that abided upon us, he appeased it from James. I wonder how many of you here is really saved. I wonder how many of you is just faking it, hoping you'll make it. You say, preacher, why would you say something like this? I've been troubled. here recently, and I said it once, Joe, I said it here a couple of Sundays ago. We've been having to go to the river. Amen. Having to go. We just have to go to the river and baptize. Or we have to baptize in the back. That's just something awful, having to baptize. Y'all with the preacher? Y'all still with me? But I get kind of fed up, Brother Joe, having to preach, explaining what baptism is. But I wouldn't have to do that. And some of these other preachers wouldn't have to do it, Brother Joe, if we ain't got a world who's trying to mar and water down the gospel. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. It's His blood, nothing else. The gospel is that you are a sinner, lost without God. And He's a searching for you. And you need to search for Him. You need to cry out unto Him. Why? Because of your sin. If you're saved today and you've wandered off, be of good cheer. Shepherd knows who you are, knows your cry. Here's the good news. You know His voice. Amen. If you're saved, you know His voice. Amen. You know His voice. And He's calling to you. You need to come to the altar. Someone says, why do you all make altar calls for? Why not? Why not? Everybody says it's between you and the Lord. It is, but it's also affecting your whole entire life and everybody around you. There's a peace that comes being in the hands of a just God. Though it's fearful, but there's joy. There's a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Let's get us a song.